And welcome back to Paul Lisnett Behind the Curtain. We make a little shift here from the world of Jekyll and Hyde to a really fun and exciting play with music and an organization that's been around the Chicago area for well over 40 years. The Chicago Gay Men's Chorus has their holiday concert coming up December 5th through 7th in various places around the city. And I'd like you to meet several members of the chorus who handle making the magic happen each time. Let me start by introducing you to Kevin Corbett, who is the managing director of the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus. Jimmy Moorhead, so thank you so much for being here, because mostly I see your back. That is because, that's because you are not just the artistic director, but you are the conductor. You do turn around and talk to us in the audience from time to time. But generally, I just have to imagine what's going on in your face as you are looking at the chorus and guiding them through. Sean Mallory, I know you are the board president for CGMC. So want to find a little bit about kind of the business end of things, because you got to keep things going, obviously, all the time. And Nico Nepomuceno, you are, I know, choreographer. You're also in the chorus. I see you dance all the time. And Cody Derricks, I don't know what you don't do. You dance and you sing and you're everywhere. And so I actually just asked for you to join this because I've just so enjoyed watching you over the last several years. I thought it'd be fun. And you got this great personality. So let's bring them on. So thank you for joining us. Thank you all. I'm going to come to you, Jimmy, just for a little bit. I know Jimmy or Kevin could give me, you could all give me the history of it, but I said it's been over 40 years. We're going to get to this year's concert, but can you fill people in? Because I don't know, I've been coming to you guys for decades, but indeed, it's been a long time.
Sure, I'll jump in. In 1983, some very, very brave gay men wanted to join our national umbrella organization, which is now called GALA, Gay and Lesbian Association of Choruses, back in 1983 for the very first conference, and they wanted to go to New York and sing. Back then it was called COAST, come out and sing together. And so they kind of broke off from Windy City, little shout out to them, because without them we wouldn't be here. And Christopher is a good friend of mine who's the AD over there. And so, like, they were like, we're not going to just sing just classical things. We're going to do musical theater things, and we're going to do show tunes and pop songs. And that has sustained us for 40 years. And I'm happy to share that I've been AD for a little over a decade, which is scary to say out loud. And before that, I was the accompanist for about 8 years. So I've been around the block a little bit. we do our own little brand of choral, cabaret, drag.
You actually have given me some jumping off points there, but I want to fill something in first, Kevin, which is, you know, I realize here I've got a group of guys with me, but the truth is there are women in it. I mean, you pretty much people, anybody who wants to be in the chorus can come to an audition and potentially get the chorus.
Yeah, absolutely. CGMC is a welcoming environment. We are open to all genders, all sexualities. It's not just, it is kind of primarily gay men, but right now we're seeing a huge influx of, you know, people of all different backgrounds. The chorus has diversified hugely in the past 5 years and grown exponentially, as you can see, as we're bursting at the seams on the stage, you know, every show. It's amazing.
Not only are you bursting in the seams on the stage, but the audiences, you do these shows like this one coming up, Holly Dolly, which will be December 5th through 7th. We'll talk about it, but you sell those things out. I mean, if you think I'm going to show up and get tickets to the door, but you might be lucky, but the reality of it is your shows sell out because they're so popular between family, friends, and people who just come to this chorus with every single concert. We'll talk more about what goes on, but Sean, let me ask you the mission of this. I mean, yes, it's a lot of you folks having fun and doing all of that, but there's more to it than that. There's a sense of community. There's a sense of belonging that seems so very important. You see it on the stage. I see it as I watch you all.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's one of the biggest focus of the group. I mean, we are a community organization. Yes, we love to sing, we love to perform, but so many people find chosen family within this group. There are some folks that, I mean, they join the chorus for so many reasons. Yes, they love to sing, but one of the things they find are just people that they can identify with, a place that they can show authenticity, show the many levels of talent. But yeah, community is the driving force for this particular group, and that's what brings folks back every season.
By the way, kudos to you, because I'm fairly sure that's a chorus photo behind you, isn't it?
Yeah, this is from our most recent show, our 90s show. So when you're talking about us busting at the seams on the stage, this is a visual representation of that.
Yeah, now everybody else is going, darn, why didn't I think of doing that? And Cody, I got to come to you because when you're on stage, you just have so much fun in doing what you do that I want you to kind of, if you can, kind of represent. Look, you're not, I don't mean you, but people are not on that stage because if they weren't here, they're on Broadway. Or if they weren't here, they'd be singing at the Lyric. I mean, you are folks who are just having a great time doing what you do.
Well, that's part of the reason I joined the chorus, was because I grew up with a performing background, like a lot of people in the chorus, as you may imagine. And being on that stage and being with, as Sean said, our chosen family, it's the most enjoyable time I've had on a stage in my entire life. There's no pressure. There's no expectations amongst each other in a competitive way. It is just a community performing for the sake of performing. And in that performance comes empowerment, you know, comes the joy of expressing yourself as a community, which is another reason I wanted to join, because I wanted to be part of our queer community in Chicago that wasn't just the bars in Boys Town, and I'm much more comfortable on a stage than I am on, like, a kickball field. So part of the, you know, chorus's purpose is about exhibiting our, as Ken was talking about, our diversity and what makes us special as a community. And I think that community bond on stage shines through in how exciting and powerful our performances are.
By show of hands, how many of you would rather be on a kickball field? Okay, none. I thought they might be with you on that, Cody. And Nico, I'm coming to you. You're a choreographer. Now, again, not only, as Kevin said, do we have people of all sexualities and genders and everything else, but people of different ages. And I mean, it's just the spectrum is run on that stage. And as a choreographer, I have to say, maybe you have one of the hardest jobs in the chorus, because, again, you're not dealing with Bob Fosse trained dancers. So can I ask you, and that's, I say that with love and respect, but can I ask you, as you're trying to figure out the moves that are people making, how do you play into the fact that, you know, what are behind you are people who may not be classically or ballet or even modern dance trained? They're sure. Folks who have jobs and they're coming to have fun.
Yeah. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, while we are a performing arts organization, we're also a volunteer chorus, right? You sort of nailed it on the head there. We all come in once a week, and what I work off are people's passions, right? While you might not be the greatest dancer, if you genuinely want to be there and you have some semblance of movement, I'll work with that, right? Because I'd rather tap into people's desire to put on a show than someone who might have an attitude that can dance circles around everyone else, right? So I think that's been the secret. The secret sauce is really tapping into people's passions.
The themes of your shows are, you know, they're all over the place. You've done Britney Spears, all these things. So this year in December, it's a tribute to Dolly Parton. And I guess, Jimmy, I'll come to you on this one, which is, you know, I always thought of years ago Dolly Parton as a country singer. And there are people who say, oh, I'm not really into country western. I think people who think that way today about Dolly Parton are really misjudging her. And there's a lot more to Dolly Parton that perhaps led you to select her body of work to do tribute to.
Well, yes, Paul. So part of it's that there's a lot out there, just her Hallmark specials or her Christmas specials. I mean, of course, we're going to sing Hard Candy. That's not a giveaway, but I'm going to make you wait for it. So you do have to sit through Act Two to get to it. But she just has so much stuff, so much good stuff. And so we even have two little audience sing-alongs in this upcoming show that are very familiar, and hopefully the audience will actually join us and sing along while we do some familiar things. But yeah, it's such a wonderful variety, and Dolly has given so much to the community at large, that why not throw her a bone and have a wonderful show in her honor.
Now, do you tackle some of the, like, look, there's some songs that, like, Whitney Houston recorded, Dolly wrote them, and they're tough to sing. Do you tackle some of those really tough ones? Oh, we're not going to.
Nope, that one's in the show too.
Okay. I wasn't sure if I could get you to leak that. All right.
Nope, I'll leak it. It's okay. For your viewers and listeners, I will definitely leak that. So yeah, we will be singing I Will Always Love You. It's a wonderful Matt Cuff arrangement. And we're just going to stand and sing pretty for that one. There won't be any hullabaloo about that one. We're just going to let the song speak for itself.
I do want to talk about how people sort of get these roles, because you do have to have a certain level of voice if you're going to take on that number. We're going to talk on that, but I'm going to watch our time and make sure people know what they need to know about this. First of all, Kevin, let me just ask you, Jimmy hinted at this, but is part of the reason that the chorus was attracted to Dolly Parton this time around was because of her philanthropy, the giving? I mean, something goes wrong in the world and there's a check for millions of dollars from Dolly Parton. I mean, does that influence decisions when you decide who to pay tribute to?
I mean, I think so. Absolutely. As Jimmy was saying, Dolly is a huge figure in our community, also in the world itself, the world of philanthropy. She's always there when it matters, right? And so that's where, you know, within the chorus, as we've been talking about Chosen Family, you know, we're there for each other when it matters. And I think Dolly is kind of the, you know, emblem of just being a kind, generous, wonderful person, while also being fabulous and amazing and having great songs and a huge gay following, right?
Yeah. Sean, this might be for you, but do you need to get, when you do these things legally, like, do you have to be in touch with the Dolly Parton Foundation? Do you, or are you allowed to just do this?
That's actually more of a Jimmy question. I'll punt that to him.
Okay, Jimmy.
I was about to say, no, we can purchase all the arrangements and do them ourselves. We don't have to. I mean, if she wants to show up, I will buy her a ticket. But
I will buy her a ticket if she wants to.
I mean, I hope she shows up to the Champagne Lounge at the Harris. That's a extra hint.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, they're legally, we just do our normal ASCAP BMI and.
Gotcha. Okay. Which is good.
And all is good.
Because that opens the door for everything. Well, I've got to tell, there's so much more to talk to you about, and I'm out of time to do this here. Can you guys stay on with me so we can have what I call a bonus conversation, which we'll play on the radio and podcast side this Monday. So is everybody good? Thank you. Hang with me for that. I do want people to know that the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus, CGMC is the easier way to say it, will be performing December 5th through 7th at the Harris Theater. This is the good news. It's not in one place. Or NEIU on Saturday night, North Shore Center for Performing Arts for you suburbanites in Skokie. I grew up not far from there. Again, these shows sell out, so you don't want to wait. When are tickets available, Kevin? They're not. I don't think they're available quite yet.
Oh, tickets are available now at our website, cgmc.org/holiday.
Okay, I was going to say that. I checked recently. They weren't there. I'm glad to hear they are there now. So get your tickets very soon so you can sit where you want to sit and enjoy yourselves. Thank you for being with me. I appreciate that. Look forward to seeing you at the show in this annual Christmas concert. But don't go anywhere because we have so much more to talk about. And for our viewers and listeners, thank you for watching us here on Behind the Curtain. Remember to go to WGNTV.com/store where you can buy this Behind the Curtain mug, which, gentlemen, you will all be getting when I meet you at the concert this year. Thanks for watching, everybody. See you soon. And we are back on Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain. I'm talking to leaders and representatives of the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus. It's been around for, I think we're hitting like 40, year 43, something like that at this point. Because I know it was at the 40th anniversary, and it just, I think it was at the 20th anniversary, actually. And it keeps going, and it's so much fun. So, Cody, you know, you said you have theater background and training and stuff, but when you see the list, can you tell us about the audition process? That is to say, if somebody wants a solo, somebody wants a dance solo or something, you're one of those folks, I think, that auditions for those kinds of things. What goes through your mind to make the decisions of what you're going to go for?
Sure. So with every individual show we do, we have both dance auditions and solo or group duet auditions. And the dance auditions are run by Nico, myself, and other members of the dance team. And we have everybody come in and do simple for some people, maybe not for others, but we do a group number. We do smaller groups to have people have a chance to shine and really show what they can do. And then we'll do usually a more advanced technical number. Usually that is something like tap or a really specific type of dance. People who want to show off a specific skill they have, they get a chance to show that off. And with vocal auditions, that's run by Jimmy. So we all sign up for an individual slot. We get to sing as many solo or duet audition cuts as we want. And yeah, it's a great chance to, everybody gets a chance to shine during the actual concert, but it's a really great chance to highlight if you have individual skills or gifts that you want to specifically highlight. The solos, duets, and especially the dances are a great way to do that.
Jimmy, if I sing the entire score of Fiddler on the Roof for you now, can that count as my audition?
Yes.
Okay. We won't put everybody through it. Anyway.
Do you love me?
Do I what? Wait, I just turned myself into Golda. Wait a minute. That way you won't get to hear me sing much. Nico, so here's the thing. I keep harping on this thing because not everybody is a trained dancer. I want to come back to that. So when you create the choreography, do you cut some slack? Do you, I mean, in other words, you say, look, I want to feature some people, and this person's been around for so many years in the course, whatever. I'm going to cut some slack. I'm going to develop something that's a little easier. Or is it a, you just got to be with it. You got to be able to do it or don't audition.
You know, that's a great question. And I think it all comes down to the show material and what can we do with dance for the given the music that we're doing for the show, right? Because in essence, that's the marker in the sand as to creating movement. And what I mean by that is, as a performing arts organization, right, we adhere by a mission statement. And one of the pillars of that mission statement is we entertain. And so when you come to a gay men's chorus concert, right, you don't just come and hear us sing a couple songs and then leave. We're definitely going to put on a show. And so part of coming up with choreography and movement is what will be entertaining. And part of that is let's add some camp here, right? Which means if I can add some camp here, you don't necessarily have to be the best dancer to give me some camp on stage. Because
just
then,
just in case somebody doesn't know what I think, most people would understand what camp means. But just in case they don't, you don't mean we're getting a tent and making s'mores.
Yeah, no, I mean more like we don't really take ourselves seriously, right? We might poke fun at the show material in an artistic way, kind of a thing. But again, it doesn't require you to dance circles around you know, other people. There's a dance for that. Right. So then it's just a matter of dividing and conquering where you can really show off people's strengths and where people can kind of let loose and have a little more fun.
So it sounds to me, Nico, what you're saying is there's some people who may not be dancers, but you will say, we still have a place for you. We have something fun. We have something you're going to be able to do. Maybe steal the show with a particular
exactly.
Costume,
you know,
thing.
And back to our mission statement. Another pillar is we build community. And that's exactly it, right? If I harped on this earlier, if you genuinely want to be there and have a passion for performing, let's tap into that. And there's a place for you at the table, 100%.
Kevin, is there a limit? I mean, if we're at like 225 or whatever it is now, what if you had auditions and another 100 people showed? Do you come to a point where you're going, we're full?
You know, we're actually tackling that right now, Paul. It hasn't happened just yet. I feel like it almost did for this show when we just had our new member intake. As I said before, we are bursting at the seams. So, yeah, I mean, we're eventually probably going to have to start looking at that. Right now, I mean, we have over 300 members. You don't necessarily have to be singing a show to be a member of the chorus. You know, you can be a member and not sing a show. But, you know, as we grow, we'll have to think about that. And Jimmy, yeah. I know you and I have talked at length about what we think we can do around that. You know, we have to look at bigger stages. It's going to be a big deal.
Or we do things like throw people out. Cody, you're gone. Now, Cody, don't go anywhere.
Don't worry.
and Sean, let me come to kind of a board member question, if you don't mind, which is, it takes money to make this happen. Now, just in case some people are thinking, I think I'll join the chorus because I'll bet they pay $100,000 a year. You all don't get paid to be in the chorus. I know that. But can you talk about, I mean, and by the way, if we're doing a Broadway show or a show, ticket sales are only a percentage of the cost. I imagine that's true for the chorus as well. I think I'm coming to the right guy when I ask you that question, Sean, about saying, what else do you do to bring in the bucks?
Well, the generosity of our audience members, we're always, like any nonprofit, we're always open for donations, partnerships with other nonprofits, other groups, other corporations. There are some donors as well as some board members who say, you know what, I love Chicago Gay Men's Chorus, I love music, I love to sing, but I should not be the one singing. So their contribution is some ways of volunteerism or through donations. So we accept, there are many ways to be part of our to quote our show, our code of many colors of music.
Yeah.
There's many ways to be a part of that. And whoever would love to donate, feel free to do so. We gladly accept.
And I know oftentimes at the beginning, at the opening of second act, Kevin, you and Jimmy, you'll come on and maybe run through some of those really key sponsors who I'm sure open the doors and keep the doors open for you to do what you're doing. Am I right in assuming, Jimmy, that you've been with this organization the longest between the six of you? Is that probably right?
Maybe. Nico,
so,
you
that's
might...
good. I'm going to take that maybe, because what I want to ask you is, over time, as I said, I've been seeing Chorus Show since the mid-80s that I can remember. Can you talk about how the change in society over these decades, you've been around long enough to speak to that, how has it influenced, and you're all welcome to join in, but how does it influence the direction the chorus has taken? And I guess what I mean is, there were times, Obama, where, you know, where LGBTQ was sort of at the top, and we saw the rainbow flag at the White House lit up when same-sex marriage was approved, those kinds of things. Is there a different mood and atmosphere around the shows and the performances and all that kind of stuff than there are during, say, other administrations? I'm not meaning that as a political question. I'm just meaning it as the chorus as a reflection of our times.
Sure. I mean, it's a little bit of both, Paul. So, yes, we will occasionally make political statements from the stage, and they are very heartfelt and timely, depending on what's going on in the world. But then also, sometimes people just want to ignore everything that's happening in the world and come to 2 hours of just fun. And so a lot of our show is just fun sometimes, and that's okay too. I think that alone is a statement of resistance, where it's like, where I'm not buying into all of the rhetoric, and we don't always have to sing a protest song. Every show doesn't have to have that. So it kind of bounces back and forth depending how intense the world is at the moment. And there have, in the past, actually been some songs that we've added very last minute where it's like, no, we actually do have to talk about this and sing something about this. And we've added something at the very last moment, like 2 weeks before we open, which is... gives me all the qualms right now, even just talking about adding something 2 weeks beforehand. Because we prepare for months for our big shows. So yeah, I don't know if that actually answered your question.
No, it does.
So we kind of go back and forth.
And because my history of watching shows goes back longer than any of you, which would be into the 80s, Nico, let me just bring into the history of the moment. Cody, maybe you'll have a thought about this too, but I can remember going to concerts where a traditional thing, it's the in memoriam segments. It's the people who had been lost to AIDS. You still have those kinds of moments where you're acknowledging that, but in some way, not that we've moved beyond AIDS, we haven't, but we have moved beyond the way it was in the early 80s when the chorus was getting started. Do you think about that kind of stuff, Nico?
Oh, I think about that all the time. Listen, I've been with the chorus since 2012. Right. And 2012, I think, was sort of the precipice of that change, in a sense that I know veteran members who have been around since the conception of the chorus, who've been around since, you know, the late 80s, early 90s. And I always hear stories about going to members' funerals and things of that nature. And to see where the chorus is now and having the community and friendships that I hold now, to think that past members walked so that we could run to what we have today, I that never gets past me, you know what I mean? Because there is always a history there. And yeah, I think it does make a difference in terms of political climate or in terms of where we are societally. I can give you a recent example, right? I think ever since we all came back from the lockdown, there's definitely been a shift and an attitude of people wanting to put on art and people not taking that for granted, which I think really explains the boom that we've felt recently, right? So even that recent example is an example of the changing times of the chorus is trying to keep up, right? in order to make a statement, in order to be there for each other. So
yeah, you're right. And it just goes to show the difficult times that they always are around. They happen. And sometimes in a big way, like the pandemic. Cody, can I just ask you to chime in on that same question? Because I know you have such an appreciation for what you do that I'm guessing you also have a sense of the history and just the acknowledgement each year as you're there and you realize there were those who came before you.
Sure. I mean, the fact of the matter is when you're part of a group whose very existence is a political issue, everything you do is political. So whether that is on stage singing a parody of Dolly Parton mixed with Adele, spoiler, that is still a political act. That is still an act of joyfulness. And joyfulness is resiliency, is resistance. You know, going back to how it was when the course first started, I was not there, but I hear from members who've been here for 30, 40 years who, you know, back in the day, people used to not put their real names in the program. And that's not the case anymore. So we've obviously come a long way, but we still have so much to go. And just being on that stage with hundreds of people who all share the same beliefs and specific existence milestones and experiences is a radical act. And even just watching us is the same.
I just have to toss in when you said Adele and Dolly Parton, there was a time years ago that both Barbara Streisand and Neil Diamond each recorded You Don't Bring Me Flowers, and a radio DJ played each of them together, and that's what gave them the idea to join forces and record it together. I'm just saying if Adele and Dolly are in the audience, who knows what will happen. Kevin, can you... Kev, can you fill us in a little bit? Because we've been talking about the holiday concert, because that's what's coming up, December 5th through 7th, the Holly Dolly Christmas. But people who say, oh, I just love this whole concept. When else can I see them? Can you give us just a flavor of what the annual season looks like?
Oh, absolutely. So in March 2026, we've got Lipstick and Lyrics, Bette, Barbara, and Beyonce. So some more fabulous divas. That Lipstick and Lyrics is our live singing drag show. It's a lot of fun. We'll be at the center on Halsted. There's usually about 20 to 30 performers from the chorus, more of a cabaret style. And then our spring show is going to be at the end of May 2026, and that will be Share the Love.
Ooh. Is that as in C-H-E-R, Share the
yeah,
Love?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hope so.
Absolutely. So that's where you can catch us. And then, of course, the month of June, Pride Month, you're going to see us all over. Every street festival, every party, just, you know, you
and
can't
often
turn
on WGN.
Corner.
You guys are in the WGN morning show or the midday show. I mean, yeah, you are everywhere. Everybody wants to feature what you do because it is such a good feeling for what we get. And, of course, people can go to cgmc.org just to – we said /holiday, that's if you want to buy tickets for this show. But if you just go to cgmc.org, you can see what is coming up and all of that. Sean, or maybe Jimmy, I want to just talk a little bit about the planning. Like Kevin just said, here's what's coming up in 26. But are your minds always turning about, I'd love to do, I mean, I'm waiting for the Barbara Streisand tribute, probably to come back maybe in 27. How far ahead do you think to say this would be great? Maybe it's a Jimmy question, probably.
Yeah, I think it is. I have two possible seasons for the upcoming season on the back burner right now. I haven't decided which one to do.
Can you give them away?
Nope. Sorry.
I think Cody knows. Wait, Cody, you were smiling. Cody,
no, we don't even know. I was hoping
no, they don't. None of them know. None of them know. They would be very excited if I talked about them now. I do like to construct like a full season. So if you notice, this season has been all major divas. We've done a bunch of different concepts. And so I have ideas. I have ideas. They're always working.
Do you take input or is this your thing? Or do you take input on any of this?
I'm always game for input, Paul. I will take everyone's good ideas. Feel free to use them. But I'll announce them in May, if not sooner.
Okay, because I've got several ideas that we... And they start with Wicked, so we can just begin there and, you know, and move on forward.
Which is really expensive.
Not if you go to Halloween Spooky Store, whatever that's called, you know, you can...
Oh, no, just the arrangement rights of Wicked are really expensive. That's all.
Nico, how much time do you need to like get prepared? So when Jimmy gets an idea and when he finally tells us what it is, I was hoping he'd make news here today. That's not happening. But do you hear that and say, ah, I've got some planning to do? Or is there a process? I don't think you're the only choreographer. So what happens in your world?
Yeah. So, you know, once the show concept comes up, I harped on this earlier. How are we able to create movement and choreography with it, right? And so part of the process is looping in what we now have a dance team, which is a group of, you know, exceptional dancers and individuals who share the same sort of passions in creating movement for the stage, right? And we sort of divide and conquer and say, okay, hey, listen, here's the set list. Here are some songs. How are you feeling? What are your visions for dance? And then we sort of come together and collaborate and then bring our ideas to Jimmy. Like he said, he's open to hearing all of them. And then, you know, if we get the green light, then it's a go, you know.
I'm going to bring things to a close. I don't want to abuse your guys' time because Jimmy's got more stuff to create and not tell us about. But let me just sort of ask each of you a question. I can tell you what your question is going to be, Jimmy. Kevin, what is it, from your perspective, what is it that brings people to the annual concert, Christmas concert, the holiday concerts, or just any of the concerts or to your performances? What do you think brings people there? I'm talking about the audience. What brings us there? Aside from we might know somebody or be with somebody in the show.
No, 100%, Paul. I really think that it's the joy that CGMC brings. I think you see all of those people standing up there, able to be their authentic selves. As we've said, that in itself is a form of advocacy. The joy that exudes from the group singing together on stage is such an experience. I always get to Showtime. I go inside the auditorium. I hear them singing. And I think, my God, this is why I do the job that I do, right? Because I get to support this wonderful group of people who gets to stand up there and express themselves through music and also find their community. And that's very palpable to our audience members. You know, I think that's what keeps people coming back to us, you know, especially the holiday concert. You want to have a great time. You want to get in that festive spirit. That's the perfect time for you to do that, right? And then it's just the joy and the happiness that comes from it.
And Sean, the special question for you is, unlike, you know, most people in the chorus are not on the board. So what is it for you that had you say, you know what, it's great to be in the chorus. I'm going to take another step. I want to be part of the board. I want to be part of making things happen from that perspective. Why'd you do that?
Part masochism and but
you thought you'd get Jimmy's answers earlier, didn't you? If I get on the board, he'll tell me before other people.
Correct. No. But you know what? One thing's always been driving me is being a part of the change that we seek. We talked about, as Kevin mentioned, about being an advocate, just being a part of the chorus, and Cody and Nico have also touched on that. That's one of the other pillars we talk about in our mission is inspiring change. And while people come to our shows to be entertained, a large part of that advocacy is sending a message and making people think. Yeah, you can laugh and be entertained, but walking away with some sort of message and driving the chorus from behind the scenes and being a part of creating that experience is very valuable and something that I find rewarding.
And Cody, you represent people who maybe like yourself, you know, have a performance background. So for that group of people, what does it do for you when you do this? Does this sort of meet the need, if you will? Do you sort of say, look, I'm not on Broadway. I'm doing other things in my life, but this lets me do what I was in many ways born to do.
I always say this scratches my performance itch like no other. There's just nothing like being on that stage, being part of that exuberant, joyful group. And that exuberance is infectious because you can feel it from our audiences. The people who come to our shows, you don't come to just one CGMC show. You're hooked. You come to one, you come to the spring show, you go to the Dolly, to the drag show. You can't get away from us. And I think people who come to see our shows will always just appreciate that joy and that power of watching a group of people just be their authentic selves on the stage. There's nothing like it.
And Nico, again, I'll do your choreography kinds of question, but I'm sort of curious, when you, as you live your life, you watch, maybe I'm guessing, Dancing with the Stars, you know, in the new season or whatever it is, or you go to a dance, or you go to a Giordano, whatever, you see all these dances. Is it always in your mind? Are you always thinking of how am I going to use these things for CGMC? Or do you say, no, when it's CGMC time, it's time for that. But otherwise, I'm just watching Dancing with the Stars.
You know, both. You know, both. Because you always say art inspires art. right? And so in finding creative and new ways, because listen, I've been choreographing, I've been with the chorus since 2012, but I've been choreographing since 2024, or 2014, I'm sorry. And so it's a matter of, well, how do we keep things fresh? How do we keep things fun? How do we keep things entertaining, right? So I am the kind of person who kind of stays up at night and sees the dancers on my ceiling with the movements and choreographies, you know, just because I'm sort of a perfectionist that way. But you know, at the end of the day, if the dancers and the chorus is having fun up there, it'll show and it'll entertain our audiences. And that's what I'm striving for.
We had some of the professional dancers from Dancing with the Stars on our midday show, and I went in to just have them dip me. I'm sort of curious, if I send you a picture of a dip with like, you know, Maxime and some of the guys that did that, is that good enough as an audition for you?
Let's go. Let's see it. Right. There's a place for you at the table.
Okay. I was looking for him just the other night. And Jimmy, I guess I'm going to wrap things up with you because you seem to be the heart of the artistic end of all of these things. First of all, what are the darn things you're not telling us? But secondly, if we move beyond the secret themes, how do you do what you do? I mean, do you wake up on January 1st and say, now it's time to think ahead, or maybe it's 2 years from now, but how do you do what you do to get a sense of what needs to be the theme of each show that you're going to do in the coming year or two?
That's a really difficult question, Paul. It kind of bubbles up on how, like, what is the thing to sing about next. And I'm constantly looking for themes that are broad enough that there are a bunch of possibilities to add to them. So, like, our 90s show we just did in the spring is a good example. Like, that's a whole decade of music. But, like, the pieces we chose to do were very specific. So, like, What's Going On by the Four Non Blondes felt very, very resonant, even though I had programmed it 2 years prior. You know what I mean? So things slowly but surely come together, and then there are some last-minute things. But in the grand scheme of things, I do try to plan about a year in advance, just in big picture world, so that I still don't let most of them know, because then I have power to change my mind if I want to, which is why I have two seasons on the back burner for next year.
All right.
So yeah. And I mean, guys, I will give you this one, Paul. I'll give you this. We will definitely sing Walking in Memphis in the Share the Love show, because I absolutely adore that song. So we will definitely be singing Walking in Memphis in the Share show in May.
Did you just break that news?
I'll give you a little something.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you just break it? Was this news to you guys?
Yes.
Thank you. I wanted to do something. And Sean just looked up for the reaction to Cody, like on the screen. It looked like a Brady Bunch thing. Kevin, as we wrap it up, I could do this, but I'd rather you do it. Walk through the dates, December 5th through 7th, where people can see this year's tribute to Dolly Parton, Holly Dolly.
Absolutely, Paula. It'll be Friday, December 5th at 8 p.m. at the Harris Theater for Music and Dance, downtown Chicago. Saturday, December 6th at 8 p.m. at Northeastern Illinois University Auditorium. And Sunday, December 7th at North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in Skokie at 3 p.m. And again, tickets at cgmc.org/holiday.
Yeah. And check every year, because you're in different places. Some of these repeat. You've been at the auditorium. I mean, you fill some really big spaces. So congratulations to all of you on all this history, and certainly to a very bright future. I look forward to seeing you at the Holly Dolly Christmas this year. For those of us watching us here on Behind the Curtain, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Thanks for this bonus episode and hanging with us. Thank you to all of you for being with us. Bye-bye, everybody.